Let's Get Two presents...
5, 4, 3, 2, 1...
Go, go, Astro! Here come the Astros, burning with desire. Here come the Astros, breathing orange fire. Here come the Astros, with winning on their mind. Here come the Astros, number one every time. Go, go, Astros.
We want Houston! We want Houston!
Alvarez, it's a high drive, center field. Veer leans back. This game is turned upside down!
And the pitch is lifted to right by Castellanos. Long run for Tucker, over toward the line, and foul territory. Makes the catch, and the Houston Astros do it again! 2022 World Series champions!
And now, Go Go Astros! Astros baseball from three guys who've been there since Art Howe had hair.
All right, good morning, Astros fans. It is Monday, it is September 18th, and Andy, well, first of all, James is not on the show today. He has lost a series to the Royals discomfort, but I think all of us do. That was less enjoyable than I thought it'd be. Andy, your reaction to this week?
This week, I mean, starting to bleed into the season, right? So we are a community that is concerned with what have you done for me lately, it seems, and what we've done lately has not been great. You can't reasonably lose in a normal season 4 of 6 to the two worst teams in baseball and expect to make the playoffs with what we have, 12 games left now, I believe. Yeah. Now, having said that, we seem to be competing for a division with two other teams that also don't have any desire to actually win this division title. So keep hope alive, I guess, is the best way that I could describe what happened in Kansas City and Oakland before that.
Yeah, I make the point frequently that what the Astros have to do is to outplay the Rangers and the Mariners and, to a lesser extent, the Blue Jays. And they were okay from that standpoint this week. We may look back at this as a missed opportunity, but they're a game and a half up on the Rangers, who had this bifurcated week. They went into Toronto, swept Toronto, and you thought, well, Toronto, we don't have to think about anymore, and then got swept by the Guardians. You have the Mariners, who also went 2-4 and got swept by the Dodgers, including in their hangover game yesterday. So, I mean, it's, you could be a Mariners fan today.
Yeah, it's a weird season. There's certainly the thought that we have missed an opportunity, because should we have played to our potential? And it's a lot of it's just baseball, but we are so maddeningly inconsistent. One day we can hit, one day we can't. One day we can pitch, one day we can't. If you told me we were going to score 8 runs, I wouldn't have picked the Reagan start against Kansas City. But that's just the game we scored 8 runs against Greinke and the bullpen. What did we have? 3 hits? 4 hits? It wasn't a great showing. And I don't know what to expect tonight. We're playing the Orioles at home. We played well against the Orioles in Baltimore a month ago, but we're playing at home where we don't play great at all. But it's a team that's in the playoffs, so maybe we take this more seriously. I don't think there's an Astros fan who can tell you what's going to happen over the next 12 games. And for some people, that's very exciting. That's baseball. But it'd be very exciting if we were all winning too much. That's not the case right now.
Last September was very boring.
Yeah, I'd settle for that right now.
We were striving to find topics to talk about on this show other than let's just wait for October when it gets exciting. And
stay healthy. Healthy.
Yeah, got a whole list of topics here because it kind of matters. And that is, it'll certainly be more memorable last 2 weeks of the season than it was last year. I'll feel a little bit more sympathetic if a player punches a locker and breaks his finger, though just a tiny bit.
Only slightly.
But it's a very sort of different feel. But again, because the rest of the division is also, frankly, the rest of the American League is pretty, you know, is just as similarly inconsistent. I'm sure on Go-Go Rangers today, they're talking about why couldn't we keep doing what we did in Toronto? And on Go-Go Mariners, they're drinking cyanide. You know, it's none of the teams are really happy right now. I guess the Blue Jays arc is they swept at the end of the weekend, but then they lost 3 to a direct competitor that would win one of those games. They'd be in so much better shape. You know, such is life, such is baseball. And it is, in some way, my sort of thought is this should make us appreciate the years we didn't have to do this. And it's hard to have teams that do it.
We talk a lot about, unfortunately, we talk a lot about the Astros fan base that resides on parts and corners of Twitter. I think it just becomes, there's a point where we've gotten so spoiled by success over the last 7 years that we don't know how to react when the team doesn't perform to our expectations. And so there's a lot of frustration amongst the fan base that has nothing to do with the Astros outside of the result of the game, as much as it is that we expect that we should, and we should beat the Oakland A's more. We should not lose a series to Oakland A's in September when they're losing 100 games. We should not be losing a series to the Royals on the road where we ostensibly play better in September. And there's just this, again, this idea of missed opportunities. If we had taken care of business just this weekend, we'd be 3.5 up in the division and everybody would feel a lot better about these next 12 games. As it is, we have squandered the scheduling advantage that we had because our schedule gets a little bit tougher now. We have 3 against the Orioles at home. We do get 3 more against the Royals at home, which hopefully we've learned some lessons. But then we have to play the Mariners and then we close up with a series against the D-backs who are fighting for their playoff lives. It would feel a lot less frustrating if it felt there was some end goal outside of just survival. And I know we're going to talk a lot about this in the coming weeks, about just making the playoffs is going to be important this year. But it feels like we're setting up whoever comes out of the American League through the 3 playoff rounds to just get destroyed by either the Braves or the Dodgers. Because those are 2 teams that are actually playing well in September. They may be the only 2 teams that are playing well in September right now.
Yeah, of course, I'll talk about this when we get to the playoffs. The playoffs are a crapshoot, variant swamps everything.
But exactly.
That's for 2 weeks from now, because, you know, you still can't predict. You can't predict baseball as much as you try. All right, let's talk about the pitching staff. Do you want to do the positive story first or the negative story first?
Oh, let's get the positive story out of the way. I mentioned that'll be shorter.
So Fromber was excellent yesterday. 7 innings, 1 run. And he has... I don't think he's been the sort of the Cy Young candidate Fromber that we saw in the first 3 months of the season, but he's been, I have confidence of him starting game 1 of the playoffs Fromber over the last few starts. Do you agree?
Well, I think Fromber is our one bright spot in the rotation right now. If you're talking about from a consistency standpoint, and again, knowing what you get to expect from somebody who is going to take the mound every 5 or 6 days, because we're not getting that right now with Justin Verlander. We're not getting that with JP France. Although, you know, it's unfair to pick on France because he's in kind of uncharted territory at this point, but it says a lot about
the right to expect.
Right. But it says a lot about the Astros season that I'm kind of penciling him in as my number 3 starter right now. And it's just, the pitching, if you're going to look at a reason that the Astros are sitting at 84 wins right now, or 83 wins, whatever we are, it has been the inconsistency and the injury and the just lack of performance by our starting pitching more than anything else. Fromber has had a rough patch. He seems to have gotten out of that. Javier has a good start, and then he'll have a bad start, and have a mediocre start, and then a bad start. We were all expecting Javier to take a step this year. We were hoping that Hunter Brown was going to pitch better than he has. When we acquired Verlander, a lot of us were cautioning the very giddy fan base at that point that this is not Justin Verlander from last year or 2021 or 2019. This is less than. Still effective in spots, but not somebody that you would automatically pencil in as your number 1 ace. And you're seeing that through some of the starts he's had with us. And then you talk about the injuries to McCullers and Garcia and Urquidy for a bit. And it's just, it's, if you're going to pin our record and our standing right now on one thing, and it's not just one thing, mm-hmm. It's the starting pitching and the lack of performance that came from that group.
Yeah, the offense was really poor in the first 2 months of the season, but they've made a big turnaround, which is really good because it's at the time when the starting pitching started to decline. But let's say nice things about Fromber before we talk about some of the others here. In his last five starts, Fromber has a – where is it? A 1.59 ERA, 30 strikeouts and 11 walks in 34 innings. So he's throwing a lot of innings. He's getting a healthy number of strikeouts, opponent's OPS of 520. So hey, that's one guy who's answering the call. Another guy who's – none of our starters, I think, are pitching terribly. They're just not pitching up to our expectations. And on that list is Justin Verlander, who you remember when he was going good and he'd give up one solo home run per game and you'd say, that's it? I wish he'd go back to one home run and it was solo. He's given up a lot of home runs as a Astro this time. And that bit him this week and continues to bite him. Thoughts, more thoughts on Verlander.
We talk a lot about Father Time catching up to you. I don't in any way mean to say that Justin Verlander is done as an effective major league starter, but I think his time as a perennial Cy Young contender is probably over. And so again, it becomes, what do you expect from this guy that is taking up a good portion of your payroll, although certainly not as much as he could if Uncle Steve wasn't footing the bill for a lot for the next 2 years. In a normal rotation, he'd be a solid three starter right now. And unfortunately, we need him to be a solid two, and there's a gap there. I think that he has the ability to bear down, but I also think that his fastball is not what it used to be. It doesn't get the same ride on it. It's not fooling guys the same way it was. And I believe, without having the numbers in front of me, he's putting too many guys, I mean, to your point, on base. And I think there's walks that have happened that wouldn't have happened in the past. He's been baseballed a little bit. And I'm sure you can tell me his BABIP and FIP and all those things that would tell me I'm wrong about that. But overall, he just hasn't been as effective as he was even going into last September. So he's still, I mean, he is our number two pitcher. We don't have another option that's better than him. I hope there are more good starts left than there are bad starts, but you really don't know at this point. And what it's doing is kind of, with Verlander leaving games, I will say this about Verlander. He does seem to have the ability to eat innings to an extent, even when he's not going well. So he's not taxing the bullpen dramatically like J.P. France did in his last start, or Christian Javier has done for the last 3 months. So there's that. So, you know, again, in this world in 2023, he's a solid number two for the Houston Astros.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest issue for Verlander, 8 starts in Houston, 9 home runs allowed. So he's, you know, his strikeouts are a little diminished from last year. Again, that's Father Time catching up with him, but the home runs, some of that can just be, you know, home run rate ahead. There's a little bit of luck to that. It's also Verlander pitches in a way that's very, you know, when he gets got for home runs. We've seen that a lot, but hopefully that'll come down. He had 9 home runs in his 16 starts with the Mets. So, you know, those have bunched, unfortunately, for the Astros, but you're right. There's no true number two on this team. And, you know, maybe Verlander can step up and do that as we get to the end of the season here. But we'll need lots from the bullpen. Let's turn to the bats here. Last week, we were very excited about the bats because they had 4 games in which they scored 10 runs or more. So that's always good to get double digit runs. This week, in the first 4 games of the week, they scored 10 runs total.
Yep. And again, it's the consistency or the inconsistency is what will drive you crazy. And I've got to just think there's a combination of things that happened this week. I think there's just a natural lack of focus when you're playing 100 loss teams. I think that's natural. It's not great, but I think there's a natural reason for that is you just aren't hitting as well because you have the hitting requires extreme focus as a Major League Baseball player. I think the other part of it, not to necessarily go back to the pitching, but our pitching staff over the last 30 days especially has given up a 883 OPS against. And so when you're constantly behind as a hitter, when you start games down 3-0, like we saw a couple times this last week, it's really, really difficult to stay within yourself, especially as you get later into games and you're trailing. And I don't want to, you know, mention Voldemort's name here, but Jeff Bagwell said on the radio earlier this week, you get into this area of wanting to hit a 3-run home run. The problem is there's nobody on base.
Yeah.
And you've got a lot of players trying to do that. It's like, oh, we kind of sleepwalk through the first five innings. Let's try to get intense now. I just don't think it works that way. The other part of that is that with the Royals especially, you've got a lot of pitchers that maybe you don't have a lot of exposure to. You have the luxury for the Royals of not really caring if you win the game. So you're going to throw a guy and throw him for three innings or throwing for the minimum three pitchers and trade somebody else out and throw a lot of pitchers that don't have a lot of exposure against those hitters. That doesn't explain what happened with Oakland this week. Because we've seen Waldichuk plenty of times. Waldichuk shut this lineup down for five innings, but I think there's just a lot of congruent circumstances that have made this just a really, really bad week in a season that's had a few bad weeks. Again, having said all that, there was so little damage done to the standings that we're all kind of in this limbo state of somebody's got to step up and win this thing, right?
Well,
and if it's going to be the Astros,
if they all keep going 500, which is basically what all the teams in the AL West have done in this month, they could do that, right?
But if somebody's going to stand up, you've got to think, you know, somebody on this team's going to stand up and say, we're going to win this. It's going to have to be the offense. Mm-hmm. And so I'm hoping that the intensity, the focus, the whatever you want to call it, that you can't quantify, is ratcheted up against Baltimore this week. We aren't going to see, nobody's going to see Felix Bautista. So, and we hit Felix Bautista well. We may be the only team in baseball that hits Felix Bautista well. But they've, you know, filled that hole pretty effectively and have fought off to this point the Rays to maintain that lead, although that's gotten a lot tighter too. So we'll have fans this week in Tampa Bay for maybe the first time in a while to see if we can put a little dent in Baltimore's reign so far. But I'm hoping for a good series, and I'm hoping for a team that shows up and a team that dials in a little bit harder at the beginning of the game instead of trying to play catch up. But it's, you know, a team game. Pitching's got to support that as well.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, for me, it's always hard to get into the mentality because, A, we don't really know what that is. And we don't really know what's in the clubhouse. And B, baseball is a funny game, right? Because I'm going to be really intense today and I'm really going to do this and I'm going to, you know, I mean, the expression is you squeeze your bat into sawdust. That's not always the best strategy. You know, from a mental preparation standpoint. And so I don't know what to tell them about sort of mental stuff, but I'll say this one, it's a veteran team with lots of guys who've been in lots of situations before. So I'm not too worried about that. Two, it's a veteran manager who has been in lots of situations before. And they're all, particularly Baker, the manager, and Jose Altuve, their best player, are always going to project calm because, well, I've seen Altuve do that for a decade and I've seen Dusty Baker do that for three decades. And so I assume that's good because that's just who Jose Altuve is. And if I ever see Jose Altuve like throwing a bat, I'm going to get really worried because I know that's not him.
You know, it's an interesting point. We don't have a whole lot of to use a parlance that you may be familiar with from college, a bunch of players with the red ass.
There is not.
I'm trying to think. I mean, I have no idea if Yordan Alvarez even knows he's playing baseball based on his facial expressions. Mm-hmm. He could be ordering ceviche. I don't know what what's going through his head. I'm trying to think of the last guy who is really expressive. Maybe Josh Reddick.
Yeah, that's the name that came to mind. And again, he hasn't been on the team in 3 years.
Right. So you have a team that is very professional. Stoic is probably not the right word, but they don't let themselves get too high or too low.
Yeah.
I wish our fan base could take a cue from them sometimes.
Remember they were down in the World Series last year and they came out and pitched a no-hitter?
Right.
Yeah, they weren't worried. They had a team meeting about being more intensity called by Michael Brantley, right? But, you know, we think it was that big. And it may have been hitters only, if I remember correctly. And
so, you know, did we determine that are Michael Brantley meetings more effective than Martin Maldonado meetings? Because I feel like we're due another meeting maybe this week.
You know, I think Yiner should be in the lineup more, so maybe Yiner should call the meeting. Maybe the rookie should call the meeting. Maybe Yiner, Hunter Brown, J.P. France, they can call the meeting and go like, you know. I know you guys have been there before and done this, but, you know, take it from me who's never done this before. We got to step up here. That's one thought.
I'm hoping for the Gray Kessinger meeting is the one I want to attend.
I believe that is an Ole Miss frat party.
That's why I want to go.
The hottie toddy serving hottie toddies. Particular batter who's been slumping is Kyle Tucker. He got an off day yesterday, which sort of also fits into the Dusty's not changing the way he's managing the team, even as we get down into the last few days. And, you know, Varian swamps everything. Tucker's replacement in the lineup yesterday, Jake Myers, home run and triple. So that move worked out. Thoughts on Tucker? What's wrong with him?
He's just going through it. I mean, I made the mistake of turning on social media yesterday prior to the game when the lineup was announced, because that's usually how I find out what the lineup is. Mm-hmm. And then I immediately turned it off when I saw people complaining about Kyle Tucker having the day off because Dusty, again, is not taking baseball seriously or something, whatever the line was. If there was a guy in the lineup that needed a day off, it was Kyle Tucker. And it's not because he's old. It's not because he's not healthy. It's because for the last 15 days, he's batting 190 and getting on base less than 32% of the time. He has a 695 OPS and has done virtually nothing at the plate. And players do need time away, brief time away, to kind of get right sometimes. Sometimes they're grinding, to your point. Sometimes they're squeezing the life out of their bat handle. And if there is a player that kind of shows visual frustration when things don't go well at the plate, at least briefly, it's Kyle Tucker. He's a guy that you'll get a facial expression from some of the time.
You get the bat slam when he pops out, which
I deeply enjoy
as a moment of comedy.
Yeah, it's minimal, but he does it. And he's, you know, the last, if I look 30 days back, it's not much better. So he's been about a month where things have not been going well for him at the plate. So yesterday was him getting a day off just to kind of hopefully get his mind right for these last 12 games. You're going to need Kyle Tucker. And the great thing about Kyle Tucker is that as cold as he can get just as hot just as quickly. Hopefully, you know, I would think in a normal season, you'd want to come home and sleep in your own bed and do the things that you do and win games at home. That has not been the Astros this year. So again, I don't know what we're going to get for these next six games. I honestly think we'll play better against the Orioles than we'll play against the Royals for a number of reasons. Having said that, I will be completely wrong. We'll get swept by the Orioles, and so will the Rangers, and Mariners will beat each other up, and all the bad things will happen, but somehow we'll beat the Royals two out of three games. That seems to be how the season's going. Yeah. But with Kyle Tucker, and there's a couple of – Jose Altuve was kind of struggling before Saturday's game. it's just a long season, and you go through periods during that season where you're everything's going well, and you go through periods during the season where things don't go well. And there's no real explanation for it when it's not an injury, other than you're just kind of going through it. And the only way to get out of it is to get out of it. I wish there was some magic thing. If there was, baseball players would, you know, all of us could be baseball players. Could we just figure it out? Right. I think Tucker is a concern right now. He's not hitting, but he's a guy that his approach is good, and I think he can turn that around fairly quickly. I think a day of rest for him yesterday was 100% needed. It was good that they won without him. That takes a little bit of the pressure off, and hopefully he got a good night's sleep, got on the plane early, got his favorite seat, and was home in time to watch, you know, the last episode of Winning Time, which was canceled, which really irritated me. But he's ready to play today.
Yeah, I'll just say this about the cancellation of Winning Time. Apparently made Celtics fans feel good because it ended on a Celtics win. And for that,
it was an odd choice.
Yeah, for that, hard to forgive it. But anyway, that's not the, you know, light up, pour one out for Winning Time. Yeah, the thing too with like when your best player slumped is, you know what you do about it? Not much. You know, you may give him a day off every once in a while for a mental health day, but on that, put him in the lineup because, hey, Kyle Tucker slumped before and he's come back through. Yordan had that big homerless streak for a while, and you know what? You just put him in the lineup and come back through. This happens, and, you know, frankly, they had periods like this last season, and we don't remember it in the rear view. We frankly talked about it a lot there. They got swept by the A's in Oakland. They had the series. They came out of the All-Star break last year, won the doubleheader against the Yankees, went to Seattle and swept them, and we're like, hey, they're going to cruise to everything, and then went and got swept in Oakland because, well, baseball is baseball, even for a 106-win team. And everyone said if they get swept by Oakland, they can't do anything in the playoffs. So, you know, that was not good analysis then, and just because they lost two series this week is not good analysis on what they're going to do in October because if they get on a hot streak, you know, that's the time to do it. You know, they've got – you know, this homestand coming up against, you know, again, the best team in the American League and the worst. And as you say, there's no good reason to have a solid prediction of, you know, they're clearly going to beat up on the Royals and struggle with the O's because they could be the exact opposite. That's what we've seen so far this year. And, you know, I don't have, what should their mental attitude be? I don't know. I'm not a baseball player. I'm not in a clubhouse. And it's hard for us on the outside to see that, to know what to do about that, other than I would just like him to win because it feels better. And boy, yesterday felt a lot better because they were out ahead throughout all the game. And I felt a lot more relaxed than watching him try to come back on Friday and Saturday. But they would like to score in the first inning too, right? It's not like they're not trying. So I don't know what to tell them.
Yeah.
Hey, relax. It's not that bad. But, you know, not sure I felt that way Friday or Saturday night.
Yeah, I mean, I think all of us would love to have, you know, three games against the Orioles where we never trail and they're not close and there's not a lot of tension or pressure. That's not likely. Could happen. But it's just likely.
It did against the Rangers, so, you know.
Yeah, and it's just as likely that we, you know, play much better against the Royals after that. It's one of the two teams that are chasing us, the Royals or Rangers, are going to eliminate themselves in the next 10 days because they play each other seven of the, you know, of their last 12 or 13. I think they both have 13. They play each other seven times. One of those teams is going to take care of the other one way or the other. The Astros just need to win, and it doesn't really matter how they do it. If we trail and come back and win, that's great. If we lead from the get-go, that's great. I don't know that they can legitimately afford another 2-4 week. Now, I say that expecting one of the Rangers and Mariners to start winning games even a little bit. They haven't at all. As bad as the Astros have played, the Rangers and Mariners have played a little bit worse. Yeah. And so it's just, if we could go 4-2 this week, I would feel a lot better going into that last week than if we go 3-3 or worse. But I wasn't sitting here expecting us to go 2-4 against the A's and the Royals this week either. So, yeah. You know, baseball is a never ending mystery. And we'll just kind of see what we get starting tonight.
And part of that too is I told you they were going to go 2-4 this week, you're like, oh God, they're going to lose the division. They're going to be in a wild card and be real close to that because, you know, these other teams are going to win. And none of that happened. And the damage they did to themselves is not nothing, but minimal. And so that's the silver lining is sort of like too strong here. Like that's the reality, right? The Astros are up a game and a half in the division on the Rangers, 2.5 on the Mariners for the last playoff spot. So they are the heavy favorite to win the division and, you know, not absolutely certain, but, you know, close to certain to make the playoffs. They need not to go 2-10 to end the season, but the chances they do that are low. They're much more likely to go 7-5, 8-4, something like that, which will be a good enough record to get in. And, you know, if they get the division, they get a bye, which would be really nice on a veteran team. Get a few days off, set up their pitching rotation, and be ready to go. So we will see. But again, hey, for this is my sort of general thought on the season. For every bit of frustration there's been, for as annoying as this season has been, for as many frustrating decisions that the front office made in the offseason, and for whatever we want to say about the managerial choices during the season, the cost of that has been they're only up a game and a half in the division. And they're likely to get the 2 seed and a bye, and that's not a real punishment in reality for that. And, you know, again, speaks to, despite everything we want to say, it's a good team with lots of good players, despite everything.
And I think that's the maddening thing for me is they're good enough that they could go 12-0 these next 12 games. I wouldn't bet on it, but they could.
Yeah.
They could absolutely catch on fire. They could just start playing solid baseball in all three aspects.
They've never had a streak like that this season. And I spent 140 some odd games thinking they're due for that. And there's not much time left, but maybe they're due for that.
Yeah, I mean, that's the other part of it. You don't want to have another 2-4 a week because it's an opportunity squandered and you are running out of time. To your point, the Mariners and Rangers are running out of time too. They have to do something. And like I said, they play each other 7 times in the last 13 days. So one of those teams is going to take care of the other one. The Astros need to take care of their own business. That needs to start tonight in Baltimore. Having said that, losing tonight doesn't end your season. It doesn't lose the lead in the division. So just play baseball. Enjoy baseball. If you're a fan, enjoy getting to watch baseball because you may have only 12 more games to watch. You may have a lot more than that, and we all hope that we do. But the void is creeping up on us sooner rather than later. So enjoy a little low-pressure regular season baseball.
So Andy reminds us all of our impending demise. And so, you know, between that and anxiety-ridden baseball, hey, should be a good week, right?
I mean, if you have bourbon or perhaps a scotch, a nice scotch is good for a baseball game.
Absolutely. And, you know, it is, you know, or take up yoga and needlepoint for the off season because, you know, that would greatly reduce your stress from this season, which, you know.
Whatever you need to do to medicate, you know, adjudicate medicinally, please do.
You never know what's in my cup here. So on that, on that note, I'm not sure it's a happy note, a sad note, an anxiety-reducing note. That is it for Go-Go Astros this week here. Andy, final thoughts?
I'm hoping for a good turnout against Baltimore. I'm going to attend, I think, the Wednesday business fan special. So if we lose on Wednesday, you'll know who to blame. The Ghost Rose.
Hey, 2 weeks left of the season, and despite everything, they're ahead of the division. Go Stros.